Our subject this morning is in a form of a question that I would like each of you to ask yourself. The title is, Am I Saved? The most important question you can ask yourself today, because I know none of you plan to leave this earth by way of death, but none of us are certain. So every time that it comes to our mind, we are to be able to answer with a positive, yes, I am saved. Another question I would ask, has a Christian ever asked you this question? Are you saved? Brother Chalmers DeBoer, old deacon at Bryan Station. Some of you will remember him. He was a blessing to me, always encouraged me. But I was up there for one of the Bible conferences, and Brother DeBoer came up. He put his arms around me, and he said, Brother Vance, can I ask you a question? I said, you sure can. He said, Brother, are you saved? Did that offend you? Oh, no. No, no. I said, I am. I hope I haven't done anything to make you think otherwise. He said, no. But every once in a while, I just ask people that profess to be saved, are they saved? So I'm asking you this question this morning. Visitor or church member, are you saved? Some people answer me, saved from what? Saved from hell and fire, eternal punishment. See, sin, that's the problem. Man didn't start out separated from God at creation. Adam and Eve were perfect. I started out as a sinner. Came from my mother's womb speaking lies. And I remain a sinner until 20-some years later when Jesus Christ saved my unworthy soul. But some people will say, from what? And I usually answer that different sometimes, but I usually say, you want to know what you need to be saved from? And they'll answer yes, and I say, from yourself. When I look in the mirror, I see my number one problem. Think about that. My number one problem is me. Now, I can blame a lot of people, but the problem is me. You don't control how faithful I am, how I pray, or what I ask for. So the next question that I would ask, what is salvation? Salvation is bigger than a simple definition. Internally, salvation changes you from a sinner to a saint, though you still sin. So that's confusing. Oh, no, when I was lost, I enjoyed sin. I enjoyed every facet of it. Every facet of sin I enjoyed. But when God saved me, I still sin because this body is my enemy. I'm not growing old in this body because of my age. I'm growing old because I'm a sinner. And sin will destroy this body. So what is salvation? Well, our first scripture is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 7. and verse 14. Because great is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, religion is easy to find. Someone, you know, will tell you, invites you to a revival or invites you to church. And the reason that invitation is made, if you are saved and backslidden, that it'll bring you up front to the Lord. If you are lost, that you'll see yourself lost and undone and on your way to hell without Jesus Christ. And they're hoping that God will take the word of God that is preached and apply to your heart. And for the first time, you can see yourself as God sees you, undone, unfit, and your number one enemy is you.
Amen.
Now, the question is, how can you enter this small and narrow gate? Narrow, you know. I've had people tell me, you know, when they talk to me and they ask me, you know, I had a lady of the day asked me, said, are you celebrating Halloween? I said, why should I? Halloween is the devil's holiday. There's nothing godly about that. There's nothing fun about that. It's uplifting the devil. No. You're so narrow-minded. Did you get mad? Of course not. I said, thank you. Most people don't think I have a mind. At least you think I got an arrow in. I look for positive ways. But I'm not going to condemn you if you, you know, dress up whatever you dress up and go out and do whatever you do. You can still be saved. Because Halloween is not the unpardonable sin.
Amen.
But you're missing out on some blessings. I'm not talking about the kidney. You're missing out on some blessings when you disobey God.
Yeah.
Have you met the qualifications of being saved? The Bible tells us what we must do to be saved. You must first hear the gospel message. Why do we invite lost people to church? So they can hear the gospel message. Now, we pray that when a lost person comes in here and they hear the word of God, that the Spirit of God will convict them, lead them to this church, and our church is growing, and when there's new blood, everybody gets happy. You know, but we're just interested, first of all, in you being saved. Because God will lead you, if you ask, to the place he wants you. But that's down the road. Maybe it is afternoon, it may be next week, next year. But salvation is where God takes control of you. Have you met the qualifications? You must hear the gospel, be convinced of your sins by the Holy Spirit, drawn to God, repent of your sins, and believe. That believing is putting your trust in the one who died on the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
You put your trust in me, I can't save you. You put your trust in your church, the church can't save you.
Right.
But you got to put your trust in the only one that can save, and that is my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ, and I pray that he's yours.
Amen.
He's the only one. It's a narrow way.
Right.
It's not many ways. It's not like Oprah. Y'all know Oprah, you know. I got a two-page letter of what she believes, but she put it on Facebook last week. Many ways to get to heaven. Now, you know, Oprah wouldn't lie. And she doesn't mind me telling you that because she put it on Facebook. So, you know, Facebook is fair game, you know. Not much of it true, but fair game. Now the question is, have you heard the good news? Has anyone ever sat down with you one-on-one and told you how to be saved? That's what I'm offering you, a one-on-one meeting to tell you how you can be saved. That's what happened to me. Brother Bill sat down with me and my wife. Brother Bill Hunley sat down with me and my wife. The pastor of First Baptist Church in Paris sat down with me and my wife. So I had at least three preachers that sat down with me one-on-one. You know why? Because they wanted for me to make sure, understand without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ had died for me, was buried for me, arose for me, and praise God, coming back for me.
Amen.
Nothing else matters. All the rest of it is really doesn't matter. It may determine where you live, how much money you make, and how you feel, but it has nothing to do with you going to glory.
Right.
Just that narrow road. How that Jesus died for you, was buried for you, and arose for you. It is impossible to receive a gift that you have never been offered. And you got to have a personal invitation from the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He spoke to me one Tuesday morning on the way to work. He may have spoke to you in church.
Amen.
He might have spoke to you out in the garden planting potatoes or whatever you may have been doing. But you had to hear it from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had to convict you that you were a lost person and needed salvation.
Amen.
Only got one medicine. That's the gospel. Nothing else. None of the feel-good sermons, none of the songs, none of the crying, none of anything else going to make you eligible to be saved except the gospel.
Right. Amen.
It is impossible to receive a gift that you have never been offered. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 and verse 14. The writer says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Think about that. Now let's look at verse 14. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard?"
Right.
"And how shall they hear without a preacher?" And now let's clarify the last word.
Good question.
Anybody that is saved has got the responsibility to preach the gospel. In that particular setting, you become a preacher or a barrier of good news.
Amen.
Can't make it much clearer than that. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord." Now the question is, have you heard that message? I don't know for sure anybody in this auditorium that's heard it except me.
That's right.
Now, I believe, you know, I believe all of you that have made a profession of faith, I haven't, you know, I can't look at your heart, so I can call you brother and I can call you sister. But I don't go along with this feel-good message, if anybody saved my mama was.
Right.
If anybody saved my grandma was. Well, you better make clear how anyone was saved.
Yep.
Because there's only one way. I am the way, the definite article. I am the way, the truth, definite article. I am the way, the truth. Have you heard the truth? Are you on the way? Huh? You know, it's too important to be embarrassed. A lot of people would say, what would people think if I came forward and said, God says, save me? Well, it depends on whether they were saved themselves or not. If they were saved themselves, they would praise God, lift up holy hands. Praise God, you're now part of my family.
Amen.
You know why we ought to treat other Christians like we would want to be treated? We're family. We're not all in the church, but we're all in the family. God says, we aren't speaking about a federal crime. We're talking about the work of the Holy Spirit that personally convinces you that the gospel is more than a story. Now, see, that's what they do when they do the drama stuff. And it's got its place. But it's a story. And a story has a beginning and an end. The beginning happened on what the world calls Christmas Day, which is I don't want to get on that. I'd get upset. But that started on the day that he was born. That's the beginning. 33 and a third years later, they put him on a cross. They nailed him there so that I could have life and have it abundantly. Now, the story is that God became flesh and dwelt among us. And his son did for me and you, if you're saved, what we could never do for ourselves. And let me tell you something even better. I didn't want it. I was perfectly happy destroying myself out in sin. And God came to me. And he introduced himself to me by the way of the word of God and the spirit of God. And he made me alive. And let me tell you, friend, I've never got over it.
Amen.
To think that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, would look down at a no good sinner and said, sinner, I'm offering you eternal life. If you're here today and lost, that's exactly what God is doing today. He said, I'm offering you eternal life.
Amen.
Will you accept it? And I'll tell you something that I believe, and we can get together after church and I'll show you why I believe it. You may never give another opportunity. Conviction draws us to God. You know, in John chapter 6 and verse 44, it said that no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Now, many of you believe if God starts to work on you, he's going to finish it. Don't you? Don't you think he's going to finish it? I mean, He said, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. You know what that means? I may get promoted this afternoon. That's what death is to a child of God.
Amen.
It is a promotion. So I'll leave this old sinful world, and before you can blink an eye, I'm in glory. I'll never suffer again. I'll never be unhappy again.
Amen.
I'll be with my Lord and Savior. Because no one, see, I'm asking you today, if you're lost, to come and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Right.
And I want to pull a little lawyer talk on you. Unless the Holy Spirit draws you, you can't come.
Right.
You don't want to come.
Right.
But if you want to come, then the Holy Spirit will draw you, and you will think it's your ideal, and you will go to glory when you die.
Amen.
That's all Bible. It's not my opinion.
Right.
The problem is that we hear part of a story. But if you're going to be saved, you got to know that it's because God is working on you. So how do I know, Brother Vance? If God is working on a lost man and he wants to be saved, a lost man can't do anything but stink because he's dead. He's dead. Lazarus was in the grave 4 days. You know why they kept him in the fourth day? Because on the fourth day, his body would begin to, you know, corrupt. They wanted to make sure, the Lord wanted to make sure, the sisters would say, why do you tarry? Our brother is sick. He did it on purpose.
Amen.
He was in that grave 4 days, 4 nights, and Jesus came up and said, Lazarus! He didn't say, Lord, I'm not sure. I like it down here. No, he came forth. He came forth. And God said, loose him. Take all that grave clothes off of him. Loose him. Because no doubt there was people around that grave site that said, I know him. See, I'm getting you prepared. If you've got friends that you used to, you know, do things with, you shouldn't have done things with, some of those friends will point and say, I remember you.
Right.
Yeah. And I want to apologize for that. But I want to introduce you to the new me, the one that Jesus didn't just redo, but he made a new me.
Amen.
Ain't that exciting? You know, I'd get excited sometimes, you know. I won't have to wear glasses.
Amen.
Throw these old parcels away so I can eat what I want to, when I want to, the way I want to.
Amen.
Now, you know, if you've got certain dentures, you got to order things you don't want to embarrass nobody, you know. Won't have to worry about that. Set up that marriage supper and eat those brown beans and cornbread and ham. Amen. Don't think he's excited? The question is, are you ready?
Amen.
Have you been born again?
Amen.
Have you repented of your sins? You know, the conviction we just spoke about is create joy and shame over your sin and will lead you to repentance. And repentance is a change of mind, a change of heart that leads to a change of action. And yes, if you have been born again, there will be a change.
Amen.
And that change will keep on happening until you're just like him. And that won't happen until you hear him say, come up, Heather. In an instant. My friend, you've got to have some godly sorrow. Have you ever had that? Can you remember a time when you were sorry for the sin you committed? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Have you seen that? Can you remember something that you've done to somebody and maybe they're in the hospital, you go visit them and you sit there looking at them and in your mind you said, you know, I'm so sorry I done that. I'm sorry. You know why there's so much crying at the funeral? They're sorry. They're sorry how they treated their mom, their dad, their child, their neighbor. They're sorry. See, I look at death and you know, and my wife and I both, you know, she says the only thing I ask God is that he takes me first. Only thing I ask, Lord, you take me first. You know, but there's all that godly sorrow at the funeral home and the graveside that is too late. It's all over. You can't make anything right then, but you can make it right today.
Amen.
You can make it right today. You got to take all of that worldly pride and wonder what somebody else thinks. And the devil never stops working. I've been preaching a long time. And I had a guy that I hadn't seen for 30 or 35 years. And he's told me, he looked at me right in the eye. He didn't ever like me. He wasn't my fondest person. But he looked me straight in the eye and he said, do you really think God calls somebody like you to preach? I said, yeah, I really do. Because you ain't going to go through what a preacher goes through unless God is calling you.
Amen.
The money is not that good. I expect that. I don't get mad. I mean, that's all he can do. He's depraved. He's lost. He's on his way to hell. And I would be there if Christ hadn't saved me. Question is, do you know the source of salvation? You know, one simple verse will handle that in John 14:6, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. See? Despite what the one of the most popular movie stars and TV people are, there's not many ways to get to glory. There's only one.
That's right.
One and only one. He said, I am the way. Yep. Remember, I put emphasis upon these definite articles.
Amen.
When you see a definite article in front of a word, that means there's no other word. There's no other way. He is the way. You know, I told my brother-in-law, my son-in-law, ex-son-in-law, he said, I love you, Mr. Vance. I said, I'm okay. Call him by name. I've been baptized. I just throw that in, right? But baptism never saved nobody.
Amen.
But everybody that is saved, if they have an opportunity to be baptized, they want to be baptized.
Right.
You're preaching a false gospel if you believe you got to join a certain church and be baptized and take the Lord's Supper on a certain day of the week and all that foolishness. You're adding to the gospel, and that will get you lost.
Amen.
I should rephrase that. They'll keep you lost. Have you trusted Christ? A real salvation, a real experience. Scriptures teach that some believe that they are saved but are fooling themselves. Or Jesus had a day of judgment. You know what he said? We're about ready to close. Look at Matthew chapter 7. I want you to read this. Matthew chapter 7. Don't just listen to me. Read it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. Jesus said, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Notice what Jesus said. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Departed from me, ye workers of iniquity.
Amen.
He didn't say you were saved, but you got yourself lost. He said, I never knew you.
Right.
Now, you didn't believe that fantasy that a lot of preachers preaching from the pulpit this morning, that God loves everybody, but that's a lie derived in hell.
Amen.
And not everybody loves him. You know who loves him? Those that he has drawn to his side. Granted repentance. Granted faith. And they have a desire. Even though they don't live perfect, they are never satisfied with where they are.
Amen.
You find me a Christian that is satisfied with their lifestyle, and I'll show you a backslidden one.
Amen.
I want to keep getting better and better and better. I want to understand more and understand more. I want to be able better to talk to someone so they don't hear me, but they'll hear the Spirit of God. My friend, this is a serious matter. So, our last point. If I was to ask you, are you saved? And I would say, was there a change? Salvation produces more than a one-time experience. It changes your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, in other words, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, new things. All old things are passed away. Everything becomes new. Was there a change? Yes. Everything is different.
Amen.
You remember that little song? It's different now. Since Jesus came to me, it's different. Oh, it's different.
Amen.
Yes, it's different now. Is it? Is your life different? Well, I'm telling you, when you come to know Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17 becomes a whole lot to you, becomes precious to you. Because it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. What? You mean you don't want them a little bit? They're passed away. Oh, the devil will tempt you with them.
Yep.
But you don't want them. He's filled them, see. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we need to understand what that verse means. Sanctification. When God saved me, I was sanctified. It means I can never be lost. But this flesh wasn't sanctified. And so that flesh is a progressive sanctification. Set aside. Now I'm going to make one statement. Some people don't understand, or they've told me they don't understand it. You'll see behind here a portable organ. Organ. Am I pronouncing that right? Sounds right. Okay. That organ has been sanctified. You know what that means? Been sanctified for what? For the worship of God. Piano. Sanctified. Church. Sanctified. That's why we say, don't bring food in here. This is the worship. This is not the kitchen. This is where God meets with us.
Amen.
Did you see a little silly girl out there washing the window? Searched about ready to start. She's out there washing the windows.
Amen.
What's wrong with her? Well, I hope she washed that window because she realized that bird poop shouldn't be on the window where we meet God. I believe that with everything in me. You're going to raise your voice at me, you wait till we get in the fellowship hall or outside, and I'll go head to toe with you.
Amen.
Not in God's house. The same Holy Spirit who was convicting us of now lives within us to lead us. God's Spirit provides direction. That's what Acts 16:7 means. Don't tell me that you were following the Holy Spirit when you went and did something that you knew was wrong, that you knew God's word was against. Don't say I was doing something that was the preacher's ideal. This is not my ideal. This is God's ideal.
Amen.
This is your ideal. Man, ain't no ideal of mine in here. It's God's precious word. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Somebody, I don't know who it was, told a friend of mine who's a preacher. He said, well, if Brother Vance invites you to preach and he finds out you use NIV, he won't let you preach. That's what I call a nosy pretend preacher. But he's exactly right. You won't preach in this pulpit using the NIV or NASB and all those other S's and B's and D's. Here it is, brother.
Right. Amen.
Don't tell me you're going to stand on some of it. If you know it, stand on it. If you don't know it, come. Give me a chance. I'll get to you. I'll preach it. But if you want a crash course, read a chapter a day. Start with Proverbs. Then go to John. Then go to the 16th chapter of Acts. After the age you graduated, you can go anywhere you want to. As we close, salvation is more than a mental decision. Repeating a prayer, an emotional experience, or a progressive work. It is a total change from the inside out and a change made possible only by Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I know that maybe not all of you, but maybe there'll be a few that's got it all together, but man, I've tried time and time. I ain't going to do this no more. I'm not going to say that no more. I'm not going to use that word anymore. And what happened? I find myself doing it, find myself using it because I forgot to say, Lord, take this out of my vocabulary. Take it out of my vocabulary. One thing that my three kids, if they tell the truth, they have never one time heard their daddy curse in front of them. Not one time. You know why? You don't take the Lord's name in vain.
Amen.
He's your Lord. He's your Savior. He's the reason you're walking around. Do you realize that?